Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Congratulations. Let's talk about how this all happened, because you guys are here today to co-create with Gary, which is one of the best things about this NFT world. We're going to talk about how he conceived the characters and help you draw your own. So with that, Gary, let's first talk about the importance of characters and storytelling and how it's about making people feel.
Thank you for being here. It's really nice to see all of you. Obviously, a lot of real relationships here. This, you know, I named it V Friends because I knew that if it was what I thought it was, I think for a lot of you, this journey started with your awareness of me and trying to figure out this thing. But when I look at this specific crowd at this exact second and I see a lot of people I know, the relationship building that has happened among you all is profound. And just to remind everybody, it's 18 months, right? So, you know, I always said to the team early on, like VCon 3 is gonna be like summer camp. Like people are gonna be like running and hugging and you know, like, and it's happened. I mean, we're just literally 0.04 of a second in, and I know what's going on amongst so many of you. It's pretty profound. So thank you for being here. I'm super pumped about today. Hope you have a great time in Miami. I'm incredibly sorry that I couldn't make last night. I desperately did try. It just didn't work out, but I hope you had a wonderful time. I'm glad I snuck in the tweet to give you the preview, because then I feel like I would have felt worse about it. So I hope you had a lot of fun. It's great to see some of you earlier. I'm so excited to be here, and let me tell you why. Characters. I think this is like a fucking left field one that I don't think I've ever said publicly. I'm not so sold that I didn't start VaynerMedia because of characters. I was so affected by mascotting in advertising, the Pillsbury Doughboy, right, you know, Tony Tiger, like the Marlboro Man. I even to this day feel like it's one of the few things that we have not accomplished at VaynerMedia yet, which is to stand up our own meaningful character. Our Scott's Miracle-Grow gardening Super Bowl spot that had John Travolta and Martha Stewart in a couple years ago was, it still sits in my gut as a miss because I wanted to push this character called Gary the Gardener. but I would have taken Greg. I would have taken anything. But, you know, or when you think about what we did with Mr. Peanut and Baby Nut, like that was a big deal. Like for Planters Business, it was profound. When we killed Mr. Peanut and then did that whole thing a couple years ago, that was like a big, big, big deal and really grew that business. And then they sold it for $3 billion plus to Hormel. Like a real life thing based on characters. And if there wasn't a Mr. Peanut to kill, VaynerMedia's marketing campaign couldn't have helped Kraft grow their business, which helped them exit in a significant way. So how important are characters? It's Santa Claus is a character. Like, you know, I don't even want to get into like religion and stuff like that, but like, put it this way, it's a big fucking deal. And it's a big fucking deal. And I think for me, I've been thinking about it my whole life. Before there was an eBay, I was going to garage sales in high school and buying up like the Facts of Life board game and like Grimace from McDonald's toys for 10 cents. Like from the get, I knew that there was something in that stuff. If you showed 17-year-old me, 47-year-old me with an advertising agency and an IP like V Friends, he would have been like, fuck, that really took off. Like that hypothesis became like real fucking life. And so it's the biggest thing. And I think again, just to remind everybody here, because we're all like in it and thinking and looking at other things and looking at our things, think about how unique V Friends is in the entire NFT ecosystem. Almost every other significant top 25 project, there's a single character with different attributions and rarities. We have a universe of different characters. It's just so different. In the entire, I'm actually really surprised there aren't more that look a little bit more like us, where there are 50 different characters. We're very unique. It is completely based on character. And and I'm excited to be at the helm of it and looking to build it for a very long time.
About characters that were nostalgic, brands from childhood, right? I'm wearing my Cookie Monster shoes or Ambush, right? You know, Converse, but like they make us feel.
Yes.
You've been thinking about these characters, Gary the Gardener, you've been feeling them for a while, but how did you make the jump from that to actually hand drawing hundreds of them and putting yourself out there? Because regardless of what the output of art is, it's vulnerable, it's scary.
I'm not scared.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. I'm not scared. And I'll tell you why. I don't think of myself as special, and I definitely don't value your opinion, pro or con, in a good way. You know, I know like some of you come, I've interacted with a lot of you a lot, and some of you will come up and be like, I know you don't hear the cheering, but like I want you to know it meant a lot. Of course that means a lot to me. I'm not saying I don't give a fuck and I'm fucking an unemotional fucking unstoppable force. It's that I'm just in a very neutral place. It's fucking zened out for me. Like, when people are like, he's the greatest, I'm like, that's so nice. When people are like, he's a piece of shit, I'm like, you'll see. Like, it's just all kind of very chill. You know, it's all kind of very chill. And so, you know, for me, I wasn't scared of putting myself out there. To answer your question, it's super fun for D-Rock and Andy to be here, because D-Rock, did you film it, or was it Babin or somebody else when we did the Workplace Warrior meeting with the toy guy? You did. D-Rock and I have film that is gonna fucking rock you when we put it out. Here's some, not alpha, but like a fun thing. Like, there is a full 1 hour filmed meeting with a toy creator from Asia, consultant, where in 2018 or late 17.
Right before COVID. Oh,
right before COVID. So 19?
February.
Oh, that right before?
So you guys have been doing
this. Well, this is where I'm going. No, it's even more scary, because by the time we got to those meetings, oh, you're right, because there was 18 meetings virtually than the 19 physical that we filmed, but it started with 17. In 2017, the idea of Workplace Warriors was happening in my head, because I was getting so many DMs from so many people saying I hate my fucking job. And one time I really got upset in my office, like it was like three in a row of like people really unhappy. Like just on some like, you know, if someone's unhappy, they can write you a real masterpiece. And you know, I'm reading this shit. And then, this is no joke, and then I'm going to the bathroom in the office, and on the walk, I just noticed that almost every cubicle had like Simpsons toys, this, that, the other thing, and I'm like, huh. People are so unhappy at work. People like to communicate through these little things and look at them. What if I made a whole universe of characters that people could put on their desk and look at, and maybe I can push my things. I think, do you remember this, Andy? I think it was Patient Parrot first in Workplace, right? I think in Workplace Warriors, it was Patient Parrot, not Panda. But the characters were already kind of happening. So it was happening. We didn't get to it because of COVID. And then with NFT World, when I understood, I'm like, when I had my Eureka, I'm like, oh, this is it. I went right back to the thing that was like most in my head for a while. I started to understand utility and events and what we're doing right now. So like, they're gonna be friends with each other. Oh, be friends. So it started, and that's how I put it all together.
That's amazing. I think what's so helpful about what you just shared is that sometimes when we create, we expect this lightning genius moment to hit, and then we have to put it on paper. So you guys, when you're staring at your paper in a bit, might feel that pressure, but sometimes these things take time, and you don't even know if you've been developing them until they come out.
Can I
yeah, add
that? It's a great call out. So we're about to go serious here. You're about to create a character, a mascot. Something profound is gonna happen in this room today. I like genuinely believe one of you is gonna do something right now that you have no fucking idea you're about to do, and something insane is gonna happen in the next 20 years. I'm so pumped for today's event, you can't imagine. But when you do it, to that point, which is why, thank you for giving me the mic, I wanted to say this. It's gonna be like, all right, go, and you're gonna be like, what the, like, you know? Try to think about some shit that you've been thinking about. Like, try to think, like, the reason BeFriends is gonna work is I really care about it. Like, I really do care about Accountable. I'm obsessed with Accountable Ant. Like, I think about Accountable Ant every day. I'm like, one day I'm gonna teach the world to be accountable, and everybody will be happy. Like, you know, I think that, like, it really matters. So you're about to do this. You could, you know, you're with your buddies, right? A lot of you are like, you know, like high schooling it up right now, sitting with your friend that you've been jamming with. But like, when you get to the part that what we're here for, give it a second and maybe even start now of like, what have you been thinking about? What has been true to you? What have you given a real fuck about forever? It will matter so much more than trying to come up with something clever.
Yeah, and that's some good advice because, you know, you were with me on my Clubhouse journey. I didn't come in with scripts written for Clubhouse. Anyone who's been on Twitter Spaces or Clubhouse, or even the way you show up on a stage, you talk and you feel. You respond to what's inside you and what's around you. And that's the most authentic expression of self. And when you put too much pressure to have a goal that wins, you want to win, of course, but that's not the process.
Or the reverse. Like, what I just said is I don't think anybody here feels any fucking pressure about what they're about to do. I think it's the reverse. I think everybody here should realize, like, you may actually do something right now that changes the course of your life. So, not to put pressure on you, but like, no, but meaning find that in between. It's back to like that in between, right? Like, it's not pressure, but on the flip side, don't just mail it in with what we're about to do. Like, push a little bit. See what you, try to remember what you feel or what you think about or what's been a consistent for you.
For sure. Well, one of the interesting things is you've talked about these characters, these adjectives before the nouns for all your characters. And so in thinking about it, you didn't just say it's an ant or a swan. I love the sweet swan, not biased, but they each have a characteristic. And you know, we talked about the importance of making someone feel. Elisa pointed out that it was like character development in terms of the actual, you know, symbol or the character, like the image, but it's character of values. Why the choice for putting values with these animals, which would have done great regardless, but you've always talked about leading with your values, kindness, empathy, all the things. You chose that in the name.
You know, I don't, for a lot of people here were in my sphere and we were, you know, that's how so many people got into V1 and there's a lot of V1 people here. Like I really had a genuine eureka moment. Like Web3 is Web2 and Web1. Like, I understand that the price of NFTs are down. That doesn't change the macro technology. So when I had the eureka moment of like, oh fuck, this is gonna be like 10 to 15 year thing again, like the last two things. But then when I put the whole, oh fuck, this might be the intellectual property, why I was collecting Happy Days shit and Pokemon, like, oh fuck. Like this was like, not only like fuck, like social media, I gotta make content. I never thought anybody on earth would ever know who I was. So that was not natural. I just knew I had to make content to learn social media, so I did a wine show. But it wasn't like that's what I wanted to do. I was 30 years old. I'd never thought that anyone would know who I was. I just wanted to be a businessman. I still do, right? With this one though, it's like, oh shit, something big's happening, but it's about something I've always cared about. I can, instead of buying Scooby-Doo and refurbishing it, I can create my own. So the second that happens, Juan, it was like, okay, I've got to take this serious. Like, what am I going to do? The workplace warrior thing was based on emotion for me. The whole Gary Vee thing is like, I'm providing value. Like, what's value? Value comes in a million forms. The value I think I can bring at my best is I'm a good communicator that enables other humans to potentially look at something from a different angle that may unlock a happier output, a more joyful thing, a less stressful thing. Like, I really care about this. It like really fucking matters to me. It's how I originally, and all of you know this, originally I kept saying Disney, 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 Disney. A lot of you are quite astute. I mean, not like fucking German, but like, you know, like a lot, you know, I'm sure you noticed, or maybe when I say this, it'll hit for you. Somewhere around 9-10 months ago, I started bringing in Sesame Street a lot more. Why? Because as I've been building V Friends, I'm like, wait a minute. Jim Henson was really like, oh shit, this is like, this feels like, wait a minute, the way I feel now that I'm learning, I'm like, it's a little more Jim Henson, Fraggle Rock to stop war, Sesame Street to create inclusion. I'm like, okay, this is like different. So like that really matters to me. So to me, it's about the attributes. The whole thing's about empathy and kindness and patience and accountability. And by the way, competitiveness. Somebody asked me in an interview yesterday, which befriends your spirit animal? You know, I go improv, I'm like competitive clown. It was interesting to me. I'm like, fuck, that's where I went on this one. Because I really believe in being competitive. I think being competitive is extremely healthy. I think being competitive is extremely good. Like anything, if you're overboard, it's not good. Well, guess what? Drinking alcohol overboard is not good. Like, you know, and so like, I think, you know, for me, the whole thing's about the attributes. To me, a lion is amazing, but being logical and like us talking deeper about it matters. Like intuitive iguana is gonna get a lot of momentum. Why? Why do I know that? And what, please, no speculation. But let me explain what I mean. Lately, I've been in a very weird place. I'm like, whoa, I don't think we think about intuition enough in the world. Like, you start getting, like, you know, we're all going through our journeys. I'm like, man, if somebody like back to like what's your spirit animal? If somebody, like, push comes to shove, like, what is it? I'm like, it's probably intuition. Like, above everything else, like, so much for me has been intuition, my comfort, not being scared to be intuitive. So, like, as I evolve, as my team evolves, we're bringing in lots of pros and lots of things, these characters are gonna evolve, but it's only about that. Like, to make intuitive iguana or accountable ant super duper important is about getting people in the world to give a fuck about those two traits. So it's the whole thing for me.
Incredible. So as these guys are about to start creating their mascot, what are some practical tips that might be helpful? So for example, I heard once that babies have disproportionately sized eyes. They're really large because they're cute and it makes you want to protect them. So biologically, they're cuter and we want to hug them, which is why so many characters and cartoons have large eyes. Not saying make large eyes, but there's some tips and tricks. Or where do you start if the page is blank? What can we tell them?
This is hard because the truth is everybody here is so different. Some of you have like actual skills. Some of you are like disaster shows, right? So for disaster shows, I would say try not to go too far out of your element. Like stick figures are cool. And I mean it, the simplicity of it is important. I think self-awareness is gonna matter right now as you make this, you know, don't look at the people's pages to the left and right, no keeping up with the Joneses. It doesn't matter if the person two seats over is a fucking Pablo Picasso, keep it chill, right? I think the advice I gave earlier is the biggest thing. I think the only way you'll actually make something right now that you're like actually like really jazzed about is if you go deeper into meaning. Because then the output can be like very simplistic. I mean, look, we're at Art Basel. Go into the physical art executions and you will see things that are super simple that many people want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to own, and they're super simple. My intuition always has been that that can only happen because of two elements. One, the artist or their reseller, their partner, their gallery are just good at marketing and sales. That happens. But what I have found far more interesting in the last 10 years as I poke around and prod around this is I just think those are the artists that all were comfortable to go all the way then. I've enjoyed the living shit out of people having opinions of my doodles. It has been the most enjoyable part. Out of all of it, that. Because to me, it's what I love. It means a lot to me. And like, I appreciate the simplicity of it, but like, I get it because when I look at Jackson Pollock's, which are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't like them at all. You know, and that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Beauty, you know, art, music, it's all subjective, right? So I think that what the number one thing is just make. And by the way, you can rip up the first one. Just let it flow to the best of your ability, but go back to a place of meaning. Somehow, some way. You know, like maybe you had a pet snake that you fucking loved, right? And like you know, just like go deep a little bit, like think a little bit right now about like feelings.
Well, it's rare that we get such an intimate group and access to Gary. Can we take a couple questions from the audience?
Please.
What you guys got?
Let's mic run. Let's mic run. It's gonna matter too much. We can't hear it. All right, Andy. In the trenches.
Faster, his legs are long.
Hey there, Barry. Thank you so much, Gary. Thank you, Swan. By the way, you do great Clubhouse groups.
Great.
You did all the kind things back in the day. It was phenomenal. So my question, Gary, is with these characters you have created, I'm just curious which characters of yours you find your different family members gravitating to. Sasha, the kids.
Oh, that's
cool. Do they have favorite characters? I'm curious. And why, if you know.
Yeah. So, nobody in my family gives a fuck. Except for AJ, who's like obsessed with Stunned Son, because it's a head nod to something that him and I used to talk a lot about, like just being stunned. It was just like a thing for us, so it's like a meme. The meme stuff in V-Friends hasn't even begun, right? Like the pea salad or bad, like there's a lot of fun stuff. Like this is what's so fun about this journey. Like the memes, and there's a couple of them in the ego, like, almost no conversation about them. I don't refer to them as memes. This might be the first time I have or one other time. So I think, you know, like my mom's just like, you're the best. And my dad's like, can I get free stuff? And you know, the kids are in their own world and Mona's in her own world. Like, it's just like my sister like kind of, she's just proud of me. And like, it's not like, you know, it's just like cliche. I'm sure a lot of you have this in your families, right? Like, what's awesome about family is they care about like the deepest shit. They're just proud. You know, my family, who knows you better, right? My mom especially, and this is where I always get emotional, she just watched the whole thing happen. Like, I was a deeply caring kid. It was funny, I don't know, how many of you by show of hands, and I know that not everybody listens to the podcast, but I'm just curious because I want to see where I want to go with this. How many people listen to the podcast where I had my friends that I grew up with from Edison? Just raise your hands. So first of all, fuck all of you. But for the couple of you that listened, you know, so since a lot of you didn't, right around Thanksgiving, there was a podcast where I had my, like three of my core, one passed away, unfortunately, Marissa Bird, may she rest in peace, core Edison friends. And they had stories and shit I forgot about. And what, in the podcast, what I kind of left with personally was like, man, I used to fight a lot. Like fight. Yes, which is,
really?
But I'll explain why. I used to fight because I would almost cry if I saw somebody picking on someone. And I wasn't able to control my emotions and I just wanted to fight them. And so like for my mom, me spreading positivity and doing the right thing is the culmination of something she watched hour by hour for so many years. And that's the shit they care about more than like Rare Robot's song is awesome. Though they all fuck with Rare Robot's song. That's the one thing. All right, let's get more.
Yeah, let's
do
more.
Right over here.
What's up, Gary? Great to see you, man.
Such a pleasure.
My question is, can I either have you or someone from your team help me draw my mascot?
Hells yeah. Done. Hells yeah.
I'll help you.
Thank
you, man. Who else?
Hey Gary, just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for putting this together. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
What are you most excited about VCon coming up?
Give me the mic.
Okay. Indianapolis.
First of all, fuck that stadium. The Jets lost a heartbreaker there, so I'm gonna have some feelings when I get there. What am I most excited about? It's incredible to see Malin and Saban here. Like what they are bringing to the table. Like, I mean, big shout out to Maha. She like does comms and like really helped us a lot. Me and Andy, like we fucking bubblegum and taped it together. When I watch these two move, I'm like, oh shit. Which really fucks with me because VCon went so well because of like the essence. And I think things just clicked for us. I think the gods were just looking down at us being like, this is too like good and we're just gonna make this an epic event. But like, there is some serious confidence I have that like things are gonna be tighter. We learned a lot, right? What am I looking forward to? Not having a stampede of people running to the fucking hoodie thing because they wanna flip it, which I love because I'm in that DNA, but I don't want people like hurt each other. So like little subtle things in the nuances. I think tightening up everything, like if, again, I think I said this to Andy, I said, we'll probably do this 2 times better and it may not go as well because it just all clicked so well last time. But on the flip side, from the speakers, the concept, I will say that this will, I'll give you some previews. I think that this is much more of a business conference than last year's. I think we're gonna broaden the content. So there'll be plenty of Web3 dynamics, but I think there's gonna be a lot more entrepreneurship, leadership. I think there's gonna be a lot of great content. I think the entertainment aspect's gonna be even stronger and, you know, Wyclef killed him, we had a lot of great stuff, but I think the entertainment's gonna be stronger. I think much like we saw last night with the takeover, I think that the community is gonna do more shit around it. So that's just awesome, right? That makes the Midnights cooler than they, like that will happen. And I think we've got like 1 to 3 like meaningfully interesting surprises that are different. I think it's gonna be tighter. And like what do I mean by that? I think like almost every element, whether it's food and beverage, whether it's logistics, whether it's like just every aspect of putting on a conference will genuinely be better. And I think the content will be better. And what do I mean by that? I think that it's gonna be more broad. I think it's gonna be legit as fuck. I think we're gonna have like incredible people and I think it's gonna be incredibly enjoyable. Not to mention, think about how much closer some of the relationships everyone here feels today compared to a year ago. So think about how much that manifests in a 4-day event. Like, it's just gonna be wonderful, so I'm excited about it.
Are there more or less stairs now?
You know what's so funny? In theory, logistically, we're doing it so well that there's less stairs, but when I saw that it was such a difference, I was like, no, I don't want these people to be lazy. Let's make it harder on them. They'll probably be less. Got you. We're good, we're good.
Appreciate you, Andy. Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Of course.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for giving me the time. Okay. So you talk about reach and character development and getting people to care about accountability and patience. I think one thing that's really important in doing that is making it more accessible to as many folks as we can. I know that's a huge priority of yours. You were on one of our spaces leading up to BF2 earlier this year. I asked you what it's gonna take to get a Spanish channel in the Discord. And I don't know if you remember, but you said, you know, we're working on a lot of things. It's definitely a goal of ours. It was in the middle of BF2
yep.
launch. And so my one goal today was to come today and ask you, what is it gonna take to get a Spanish channel in the VF Discord? We have moderators on deck. We have people who wanna support it. We got a huge BFamilia community. And I just wanna make sure that what happens.
So do me a favor.
What made me start my spaces initially was because I learned that English or Spanish wasn't allowed in the Discord. And so I love that it inspired me and got me there, but I wanna do everything I can to make it happen.
I love it.
Not stop there, by the way. We want every language, you know.
I totally understand. So it's really interesting, right? Because Andy was the head of my content team. D-Rock's here, he's been on this whole journey. This is literally deja vu of how we did the content thing, right? The Gary V Espanol channel and Portuguese in Brazil and Arabic and like, you know, it's a process. So I think to answer your question, a couple things. Since series two, and then we went right into VCon, I think a lot of you can tell, like literally next day after VCon to like almost right now, there's been so much behind the scenes, corporate building out, macro infrastructure, raising capital for a winter that I thought was coming, which worked out timing. There's been so many things that have been distracting us and agenda stuff. I would say that the most exciting part for me as an operator is that I'm like, uh-oh, we can like kind of like start to build on the next stuff, the promises, the ideas, the different things of that nature. So what I would say is, please, give your info to Andy, walk right up to him, we'll connect. He's gonna put it part. We have major, major, major time together starting in Jan 2, right? But we're also gonna have a lot of time together. We're taking some flights and different stuff, and we're taking just a lot more of like what's next agenda items that we have to knock out that wasn't part of the list that we built pre-VCon. That is what we spent our time on. You know, I've been alluding to technology. There's a lot been going on. I think we're finally in a place where it doesn't have to be lip service or like super back burner. I think we're ready for that's not an incredibly heavy lift. That's some interviews of that. But I don't think people really realize like that we're working 15 hours a day for real, and there's still, we can't get to everything. This is real life, a big thing. Even though that may seem like, hey, fuck you, Gary. Like that doesn't take a whole lot. But you know, look, I think we've been pretty consistent with this. Like, We try to be thoughtful about it. We don't want to like make missteps. We've got to do it the way, I only know how to do it the way that's worked for me for 30 years. I don't know, I can only do it the way I know. And so I think we're actually ready for more agenda items, and we will absolutely put that on the agenda item.
No, but I had a question about characters, right?
Yep.
So if you're trying to make something on the level of Marvel, right?
Yep.
That you're trying to get every demographic.
Yep.
Right? So going back to just branding
yep.
wise though, you first showed the Friends of the World with the Macy's, like with the toys and everything.
Yep.
But you chose certain different V-Friends. Like you didn't choose Bold as Fuck Bad or Hot Shit Hornet or whatever.
Yes.
So I'm wondering what these characters, so you probably know what I'm doing or whatever, with like a character, like I said, for a Marvel, and doing it with something that is not brand appropriate.
Right.
How do you like,
yep.
can you talk about that?
Of course. When I talk about this project, and I know we have so many jokes of like 40 years, 55 years, like I don't know what else to tell you. I'm like telling you what it is. Like this is what I'm gonna do. Much like Marvel, like, you know, or anything else that's been built, shit takes a long time. So I think we've all seen how I decided to design series two and kind of the demo that that may be looking like, right? If there is ever a series three, I think a lot more about that being more like Adult Swim and Rick and Morty than what we have now, because as you all know, there's Batman in Lego form for 2-year-olds, or even lower than Lego form, and there, it's on diapers for 6-month-olds, right? And then there's Batman that's an R-rated film for people that are older. I'm incredibly, one of the reasons we've done a lot of apparel stuff is, as you can imagine, you know, fuck you Monday, LaMole, like that's not gonna be a Mattel deal. That's gonna be a Streetway spray ground backpack deal or a sneaker deal. Like, so I think it's just about strategically understanding. I think the thing that is happening is when you're watching it in real time and it's this early on, there's too much assumptions that it, you know, which I'm empathetic to, is, oh, this is what it is, but it's not. This is what it is at this exact second, but we're only 18 months in. So I think for you, for me, there's a lot of ways to execute 21 and older executions. And I didn't create those characters for randomness. It's not like an inside joke or like, ha, ha, ha. Like, I have real thoughts about what I want to do with some of the mature stuff over time. And so for you and I, those deals or those collaborations, some of those things may have to be insular. You know, maybe they're, you know, but there's plenty of brands that are not scared of a curse word. They're just not, you know, Disney, you know, and that's okay. And so I think there's a lot of ways to do that. All right, final little quick one you said, and then we're gonna get right, start thinking.
Who was born in 1997?
Okay, one quick last question to wrap this, because we've done the journey of brands, mascots, tips, but one of my favorite things about your latest launch, which is Be Friends, Toys R Us, and Macy's, I mean, that is the pinnacle. You tweeted that, you said your mom, when you guys moved to America, her dream was to be able to afford to shop in Macy's someday. Sorry.
Yep.
So some context. I was lucky enough to meet this man like 7 or 8 years ago, and the first time we met, all we talked about was our families, our values, and immigrant culture. And I cannot imagine what it must feel like to have your mom have your products in a store where someday you guys could afford to shop in. Now you're the masthead. What does that feel like, and what is this in higher purpose of?
You know, fuck, I'm a 47-year-old man, like many other 47, 57, 67, 77. For everybody sitting here who is fortunate enough, and I know that many are not, both my parents lost a parent very early. Other people don't have the luck of the draw with the parents of the way it played out. If you're lucky enough to be in a place where you want to make your parents proud at every turn, it's pretty fucking amazing. I'm very grateful that I have that. I know that that's not the story for everyone. Making my mom and dad proud is like a big deal. You know, like, it's just a big deal. And I'm very, very, very grateful that I'm living that kind of life. It really drives me. I really enjoy that feeling. And, you know, just, I'm very grateful. Like, you know, so many people lose their parents. I know what it is. I lived, you know, my entire childhood, I was scared of losing my parents. It's very compounded for me because they both lost a parent. My mom lost her mom at 5. My dad lost his dad at 15. That's so extremely young. So to be in a point in my life where I get to do those kind of things is like a big deal. I'm really proud of it. And honestly, you know, I got my, to make it a little less emotional and to give you a little insight to what I think we're gonna do here. Do you know that the reason I got into better shape, because you've seen Pudgy Gary in the old videos, was because I'm accountable to Mike Vacanti. I wanna make Mike, my trainer, proud. That's what's driving me still to this day. That's why I hired a babysitter. I'm doing it for him. I think the reason I've built very good companies and the people that work for me that know me, that like me, it's because I'm built for that. I am telling all of you to your direct faces, I feel an extraordinary sense of responsibility to all of you to make this successful. I know you're in charge of your own decisions. I fully believe that. I don't feel anything on that. That you, everybody here is a big boy, big girl. They could have sold before, they could have sold that. Like, you're in charge. But let there be no confusion. I feel an extraordinary sense of responsibility to make this a remarkably successful intellectual property and to make sure that people that believed in me, that it would work out for them, win that debate they have with their friends and their relatives and their homies. And I sit here right this second, without any doubt, that as long as God blesses me with health, that when everybody wakes the fuck up in 30 years, that VeeFriends will be the single most successful project out of this era. And I live that truth every single day. And so much of it, like trying to make my parents proud, or trying to deliver for Mike Vacanti on my health, or doing it for Dustin and the team and Andrew and everybody else, and D-Rock and Andy, that's my natural state. That's what gets me off. And I wanna do that for all of you, and I'm really up for the challenge, and I'm really grateful you're here, and I hope you all have a tremendously healthy and happy holiday. I can't wait to help you draw. I can't wait to see what you guys all come up with, and I love all of you very, very, very much.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary Vee Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.